Have you ever noticed that you can tell a lot about a person by how they deal with difficult situations in their life? People who know God and walk with Him through life's ups and downs have hope. Yet those who don't know God can hope only in the unpredictable events of this world to dedicate their future and their fate. Life offers many reasons for discouragement, but the Bible offers many more reasons for hope. Dr. David Jeremiah reminds us of this as he concludes his series, The Coming Economic Armageddon. Now here's David with more on today's message.
Well, thank you for joining us. Several weeks ago, we began this journey through the coming economic Armageddon discussion, and we looked at all of the places where the financial issue was at stake. Today, we are going to conclude with this chapter of instruction and application, and we're going to talk once more about what it means to keep your head in the game and your hope in God. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But first, let me remind you that during the month of November, when you send your gift to Turning Point, we want to send you a copy of the book Angels, recently revised and put into paperback edition. This book is yours for the asking when you send your November gift. Let me encourage you to do that. It's our way of saying thank you by sending this book to you. We hope you will be blessed, encouraged, strengthened, and even taught, because the Bible has a lot to say about angels. There's so much confusion about it today. The best thing to do is just go back and read the directions and find out what God has to say about it. And that's what we've tried to do in this book, what the Bible says about angels. And it's yours for the asking when you send your gift to Turning Point this month. We want to remind you, we have one event left this fall, one major rally. It's going to be just a few days from now on the 18th of November in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at the Consol Energy Center. We'll be there at 7 p.m. We have a pastor's breakfast that morning, and we are sure looking forward to coming to be in Pittsburgh. We've never done an event there before, and so it's real exciting to come. We have many friends in Pittsburgh, and we have a long-time relationship with WRD, and many of the people there are just wonderful friends that we've known for a long time, and now we get to visit their city. You can come and be with us. We hope you will if you live within a driving distance of this venue, and you can get tickets by going to davidjeremiah.org/rallies, call our order line, or there's still time for you to write to us, but you don't want to wait too much longer. If you want tickets to this event, you need to get in touch with us as soon as possible. There's going to be a great crowd there that night, and we want you to be a part of it, and we hope you'll take advantage of our coming to your city and join with us as we celebrate our faith together. Right now, we need to conclude our discussion on the coming economic Armageddon with this last section of the message, Keep Your Head in the Game and Your Hope in God. When we move over to chapter 3 of Daniel, we meet Daniel's three friends, and these three friends show their courage by refusing to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar when he commanded that everyone in the kingdom bow down before him. The penalty for not doing so, for not bowing down, was to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Here's the speech the three Hebrew children made. Listen to this. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Every one of us today should copy those words out and put them on the door of our refrigerator and be reminded that sometime soon we may have to take a stand like that based upon what we believe. When you come to chapter 4, Daniel interprets one of King Nebuchadnezzar's dreams, and the interpretation exposes the ruthless wickedness of the king and foretells God's judgment upon him. At the conclusion of his interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Daniel confronts the most powerful man in the world with these words. Listen to what he says. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Now, just imagine for a moment standing before the most powerful man on earth and telling him that he's a sinner and he needs to repent. What courage Daniel showed. When you come to chapter 5, Daniel confronts Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, Belshazzar. In the first part of the chapter, the story of Nebuchadnezzar's judgment is repeated. And then Daniel says to Belshazzar, who is now in power, But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all of this, and you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold, and the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Daniel was courageous, and before that evening was over, Daniel revealed the judgment concealed in the mysterious handwriting on the banquet room wall. Belshazzar's kingdom was divided between the Medes and the Persians, and Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. Now we come to chapter 6 in the book of Daniel, and we are told that Daniel refused to obey the royal statute that said no prayer or petition was to be offered to any god or man for 30 days except to Darius, the king of the Medes. Instead of complying, Daniel, we are told, went to his own house, and he prayed to the God of heaven. Here's what it says in Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. And some writers have described Daniel's conduct as an act of defiance against the king. But it was not that at all. Daniel simply went home and did what he always did when he went home. He prayed. He did not let the pronouncement of the king or the plot of his enemies change the course of his life. He would not be bullied into denying his God. Because of his faithfulness to God, Daniel was thrown into a den of hungry lions. But as Daniel reported later, my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. This incident reveals a real challenge for us today, men and women. Whether we are pressured into bowing to political correctness, multiculturalism, or ecumenicalism, we cannot allow ourselves to be pushed off course. We must continue to keep our heart in our faith and be God's people, holding up his standard and obeying his will no matter what the consequences might be. Increasingly, today, the political powers apply financial pressure to those who resist their efforts to enforce political correctness. Our businesses may be boycotted, or we may be threatened with being fired from our jobs. Financial pressure has a way of softening our resolve, and if we are not vigilant, we begin to make small concessions to societal pressure, compromising God's truth in order that we might be aligned with cultural norms in an effort to strengthen our sense of immediate security. That's where the example of Daniel can really help us. Well, when you come to chapter 8, Daniel was given an astonishing vision of the Antichrist, so frightful that he fainted and he was sick for days. But read what the Bible says he did next. Daniel 8:27. I love this verse. Afterward, I arose and went about the king's business. This may not be as dramatic as some of the events we've already cited, but perhaps it's the most important of all. Daniel was trusted with incredible insight into the future, but he didn't get off course. He didn't allow this lofty calling to take him away from his daily responsibilities. The Bible says he arose and he went about the king's business. This is a great rallying cry for these days of financial hardship and economic and political confusion. We must not give up in despair and helplessness. We must not, as some have foolishly done, sell our homes, abandon our life, camp out on a mountaintop waiting for the Lord to come. Like Daniel, we need to get the facts and then get up and get about the king's business, the business of doing the will of God. Finally, chapter 11 tells the story of Antiochus Epiphanes and his brutal assault against Israel. In the middle of the narrative describing this attack, we read these wonderful words. Listen carefully. Daniel 11, 32 and 33. But the people who knew their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits, and those of the people who understand shall instruct many. In one of the most horrendous moments in Israel's long history of suffering, the people who knew their God stood their ground. In every generation and in every situation, God has his people. When we put our hearts into our faith, we join this courageous band of brothers and sisters. Standing together, we give courage and strength to each other. ensuring companionship and support as the world moves toward the inevitable chaos of the end times. In the magazine Evangel, J.K. Gressett writes about a man named Samuel S. Skull, who settled on a farm in Arizona in the desert with his wife and his children. According to the story, one night a fierce storm struck with rain and hail and high wind. At daybreak, feeling sick and fearing what he might find, Samuel went out to survey the loss. The hail had beaten the garden and the truck patch into ground. The house was partially unroofed. The hen house had blown away. Dead chickens were scattered everywhere. Destruction and devastation were everywhere you looked. While standing dazed, evaluating the mess and wondering about the future, he heard a stirring in the lumber pile that was the remains of the hen house. A rooster was climbing up through the debris, and he didn't stop climbing until he had mounted the highest board in the pile. And the old rooster was dripping wet. Most of his feathers were blown away, but as the sun came over the eastern horizon, he flapped his bony wings and he crowed proudly. That old wet bear rooster could still crow when he saw the morning sun. And like that rooster, said J.K. Gressett, like that rooster, our world may be falling apart. We may have lost everything, but if we trust in God, we'll be able to see the light of God's goodness and pick ourselves out of the rubble and sing the Lord's praise. Though the world may seem to be crashing down around us, it really changes neither our basic duty or our ultimate destiny. We know the truth. We know who we are. We know to whom we belong. We are God's people living under His grace and assured by His promises that whatever happens, we are in His strong and dependable hands. Lions' dens, fiery furnaces, storms that crash all around us, none of that really matters. Our task is still the same. Greet the approaching sunrise with joy. The sun will come up. It always does. For those who love the Lord. So keep your heart in your faith. Well, we've covered the first three. Keep your head in the game. Keep your house in order. Keep your heart in your faith. And here's the last one, and maybe the best one of all. Keep your hope in God. Not long ago, someone gave me a bumper sticker that carried this profound message. Here's what it says. Know God, K-N-O-W, God, / no hope. K-N-O-W, hope. And underneath it was the variation, know God, N-O, know God, / no hope, N-O, no hope. These simple words, they just really summarize the final message that I want to share with you today. If you know God, you will know hope. But if there is no God in your life, there is no hope. During the difficult days of World War II, a young Jewish girl in the Warsaw ghetto of Poland managed to escape over the wall and hide in a cave. Tragically, she died in that cave shortly before the Allied army broke into the ghetto to liberate the prisoners. But before she died, she scratched on the wall some powerful words that sound almost like a creed. Here's what she wrote. I believe in the sun even when it's not shining. I believe in love even when I cannot feel it. And I believe in God, even when He is silent. This young girl endured dark days and great trauma in her life. But she maintained hope in the face of apparent hopelessness. Her last statement about God comes very close to describing what many today have been experiencing. Through faith and hope, we can know God, even though the growing shadow cast by coming events may obscure our clear vision of Him. Maybe as you've listened to what I have spoken about today, you are wondering whether there is any hope. Perhaps you find yourself feeling like Job, who cried out, where then is my hope? As for my hope, who can see it? Job 17:15. To be sure, there are many causes for discouragement today, but there are far more reasons for hope. Every generation since Adam has faced calamity. Within its epics, the Bible records a long history of wars and plagues and famines and corruption and depravity and suffering. Yet God is still in control. He has a plan. He has a book. And when we walk in fellowship with God, we find ourselves lifted by the irresistible updraft of biblical hope. If we maintain this hope, nothing can destroy our real security or our joy. It was the psalmist who wrote these words, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Commenting on this passage, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones once wrote, "The first thing we have to learn is what the psalmist learned. We must take ourselves in hand. This man was not content just to lie down and commiserate with himself. He does something about it. He takes himself in hand. He talks to himself. And I say that we must talk to ourselves instead of allowing ourselves to talk to us. Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself?" And the good doctor is right. We must learn to preach to ourselves. We must learn to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We must learn to search out and claim God's promises for our present needs and our future fears. We must ask the Holy Spirit to make these verses so real in our mind that the hope we draw from them will lift our spirits like giant balloons of spiritual helium. Many places the Bible makes it clear that even in the darkest hours, we can have good reason for hope. The psalmist said, "I will hope continually. I will praise you yet more and more." Solomon said, "The hope of the righteous will be gladness." Jeremiah said, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord." And the book of Lamentations says, "This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Paul calls God the God of hope and assures us that hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The writer of Hebrews gives us a great visual of the kind of hope we have in God when he writes, "This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil." According to Isaiah 40, "Those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles." So, ladies and gentlemen, in the world in which we live, we are beset by burdens that are big and small, and we have these strong gusts of hope catching our wings and sending us soaring up into heaven as God's hopeful, joyous people. Alexander Solzhenitsyn was a man who knew how to hang on to hope. He became an icon of perseverance through his suffering as a political prisoner in Russia, where he was forced to work 12 hours a day at hard labor while existing on a starvation diet. The story is told of a time when he became gravely ill, and although the doctors predicted his death was imminent, his captors did not spare him from his daily forced labor. One afternoon, Solzhenitsyn stopped working, even though he knew the guards would beat him severely. He just could not go on any longer. And at that precise moment, another prisoner, a fellow Christian, approached him. With his cane, the man drew a cross in the sand. And instantly, Solzhenitsyn felt all the hope of God flood his soul. In the midst of his despair, that emblem of hope where Christ fought and won the victory over sin gave Solzhenitsyn the courage to endure that difficult day and the grueling months of imprisonment that were before him. The next time you feel hopeless, take your finger and draw a cross in the sand, or take your pen and draw one on the paper and remember what it means. What it means is that there was a day when hopelessness encountered a person on a cross. And 3 days later, the Lord Jesus banished all hopelessness by rising from the dead, offering true hope to all who would believe and receive it. When we hang on to hope, ladies and gentlemen, we can go through anything. As Christians, we should never have placed hope in the systems of this world. The real hope that Christ gives us does not depend on the shifting sand of politics and economics. If you long to have this hope for life after death, you will find it in Jesus Christ and in him alone. Archbishop Desmond Tutu, the leading figure in the fight to end apartheid in South Africa, suffered greatly at the hands of the racists in his country. When an interviewer asked him if he was hopeful about the future of South Africa, he said, "I am always hopeful, for a Christian is a prisoner of hope." Financial pressures have one great benefit, men and women. They push us to new levels of faith, forcing us to be totally and utterly dependent upon God. And that dependence is justified, for the Bible is filled with promises that God will meet the needs of his children. No matter how dark the horizon may seem, we who trust in the Lord never need to fear. Psalm 23 says that the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not lack. Jesus counseled us to study the birds and the flowers, for the God who cares for them will care for us. The psalmist said, "I have been young and now I am old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread." Paul told his readers, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And in another letter he wrote, "God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." We can only lose hope, ladies and gentlemen, if we take our eyes off of the God of hope. In his book, Disappointment with God, author Philip Yancey tells a story that perfectly summarizes this principle and provides a fitting ending to this message. Here's the story. He said, "Once a friend of mine went swimming in a large lake at dusk, and as he was paddling at a leisurely pace about 100 yards offshore, a freak evening fog rolled in across the water. Suddenly, he could see nothing. No horizon, no landmarks, no objects or lights offshore. Because the fog diffused all of the light, he couldn't even make out the direction of the setting sun. For 30 minutes, he splashed around in panic. He would start off in one direction. He would lose confidence, turn 90 degrees to the right or left, and it made no difference which way he turned. He could feel his heart racing uncontrollably. He would stop and float, trying to conserve energy and force himself to breathe slower, and then he would blindly strike out again. At last, he heard a faint voice from shore. He pointed his body toward the sounds of the shore and followed them to safety." All of us today can relate to that story, because recently it seems as if we have been forced to live our lives in an increasingly dense fog. All the familiar surroundings that we once knew are shrouded and clouded, and we do not know which way to go. If we are honest, we are often scared and sometimes desperate, longing for some direction from God. But here's the good news. If we will just stay quiet and trust in him, we will hear the sounds from the shore, and we will know which way to go.
Well, that's a good place for us to put a period at the end of this discussion. We need to stay close to the one who knows the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. He is our God. We are so excited that you've been with us through this series. Once again, I want to remind you there are some resources that go with this series, as always. There's a CD package. There's a study guide. There's a full-length 290-page brand-new book from Faith Words that is available from Turning Point. You can get in touch with us through our order line or go to davidjeremiah.org. There you will have the opportunity to interact with us about all of these materials, and we hope that you'll take advantage of this discussion to include these materials in your library. It's Friday, and I like to remind you on this day that church is coming up in just a few days. In just a couple of days, we'll be gathering together as God's people. And please, whatever you do, don't use listening to Turning Point on the radio or watching us on television as an excuse not to be in church. If ever there was a time when we need together as God's people, this is it. Turning Point radio and television can never replace the local church, and we hope that what we do encourages you and sends you back to the church if you've been away. God has a wonderful plan for your life, and if you find community with God's people, you will discover that he's up to something great for you. Don't forget, on Monday, we come to a new series on the subject of angels, and the message on Monday is Angel Mania and the Bible. We hope to see you then. Thank you so much for being with us throughout this week. Have a great weekend. We will see you right here on this good station come Monday.
The message you heard today originated in the pulpit of Shadow Mountain Community Church, where David Jeremiah serves as senior pastor. Did you know that Turning Point is on radio and television this weekend? To find programming in your area, visit our website at davidjeremiah.org/radio or call 800-947-1993. When you call or visit online, request this month's resource, Angels. In this book, Dr. David Jeremiah uses scripture to unveil the remarkable truths about these agents of heaven. It's yours today for a gift of any amount when you call 800-947-1993 or visit davidjeremiah.org/radio. We'd also love to hear what God is doing in your life through this broadcast. Write to Turning Point, Post Office Box 3838, San Diego, California, 92163. This is Mark Larson. Join us Monday as we begin the series, Angels, right here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.